Blog Talk Radio.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
I hope pearly white teeth fall of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution
comes, when the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away monster balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads. And straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that they're the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
About capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I sell shirts. I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. Let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, Let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in the African community, it affects us here in this country, because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil, you sweat, I get the fruit. That's right, I get it. But you grow it, you plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see clearly how you're being exploited. So you get together, and you start talking about, we want more money. So you tell my foreman we want more money. So the foreman comes to see me. He says, the workers say they want more money. Later for them. Keep them working, man. So he comes back, no raise. They all work, but you all get a little bit more agitated, you know, because it's scientific. The pressure rises, and as the pressure rises, the consciousness must rise. It's scientific. It can't be stopped. That's why revolution can't be stopped. Then you say, hey, look here. We're going to strike. So the foreman comes back and says, hey, they say they're going to strike. I say, oh, let them strike, man. And sure enough, y'all strike. Yeah, y'all strike on me. Now, when you strike, of course, my machinery stops. I ain't making no money. So after a while, I call my foreman. I said, what do they want? He says, well, they said they want $1.50 more a shirt. They want 50 cents more a shirt. So I said, okay, let them have it. So I'll bring you back. You happy? I pay you $1.50 more. Right. So it now costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. It cost me $2.50 to make a shirt. Before, it cost me $2. I was selling it for $5. But hey, look here. I can't go out there and keep selling it for $5. Hey, how am I going to do that? I'm going to lose profit. And look here. Since the sole motivating force in a capitalist system is profit, ain't no need for me to come and sell it for $5.50. Hey, no. Next time you see that shirt on the market, it's going to cost you $7.50. Right, right. And that's what's known as the spiraling economy, because profit is what about wages go up into the demands of the workers and prices rocket. Wages go up, prices rocket. And it keeps going and going and going until it's got to blow the top. It's scientifically real. That's why Nixon is talking about freezing wages and freezing prices. He's stupid. You got to freeze capitalism, Nixon. Freeze capitalism. That's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. You must understand these concepts, because once you begin to understand them and master them, you will see the inevitability of revolution. Not only the inevitability of revolution, but you will see the inevitability of victory for the struggling masses around the world once you understand the scientific principles of revolution. Once you understand it.
The Black Panther Party, that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
As I get a little older, I realize life is perspective. And my perspective may differ from yours. I want to say thank you to everyone that's been down with me. All my fans, all my beautiful fans. Anyone who's ever gave me a lesson. All my people.
I come from a generation of pain where murder is minor. Rebellious and more jealous, a chip you for designer. Belt buckles and clout overzealous and prone to violence. Make the wrong turn, be a will of the will alignment. Residue burn, mist of the inner city. Miscommunication to keep homo detector busy. No protection is risky, desensitized. I vandalize pain, covered up and camouflage. Get used to hearing arsenal rain. Analyze, risk your life, take the charge. Homies, don't fuck your baby mama once you hit the yard. That's culture, 23-hour lockdown. Then somebody calls that your little nephew was shot down. The culture involved. I done seen niggas do 17, hit the halfway house, get out and get his brains blown out, looking to buy some weed, car washes played out, new GoFundMe account to proceed, a brand new victim, a shatter those dreams, the culture.
To let y'all know what a nigga look like in a bulletproof rover. In my mama's sofa was a doodle popper. Hair trigger, walk up closer. Ain't no photoshopping. Friends bipolar. Grab you by your pocket. No option if you froze up. Always play the offense. Niggas going to work and selling work. Late for work. Working late, praying for work, but he on paperwork. That's the culture. Point the finger, promote ya. Remote location, witness protection. They gon' hold ya. The streets got me fucked up. Y'all can miss me. I wanna represent for us. New revolution, what's up and moving? I'm in Argentina, wiping my tears, full of confusion. Water in between us, another peer's been executed. History repeats again, make amends, then find a nigga with the same skin to do it. But that's the culture, crack a bottle. Hard to deal with the pain, we are sober. By tomorrow, we forget the remains, we start over. That's the problem, our foundation was trained to accept whatever follows. Dehumanized, insensitive, scrutinized, the way we live for you and I. Enemy shook my hand, I can promise I'll meet you. In a land where no equal is your equal, never say I ain't told ya. Nah, in a land where hurt people hurt more people, fuck calling it culture. Celebrate new life when it come back around. The purpose is in the lessons we learning now. Sacrifice personal gain over everything just to see the next generation better than ours. I wasn't perfect, the skin I was in that truly suffered. Temptation and patience, everything that the body nurtures. I felt the good, I felt the bad, and I felt the worry. But all in all, my productivity has stayed urgent. Face your fears, always knew that I would make it here. Where the energy is magnified and persevered. Consciousness is synchronized and crystal clear. Euphoria is glorified and made his. Reflecting on my life and what I done. Paid dues, made rules change out of love. The same views made schools change curriculums. But didn't change me staring down the barrel of that gun. Should I feel resentful, I didn't see my full potential? Should I feel regret about the good that I was into? Everything is everything, this ain't coincidental. I woke up that morning with more heart to give you. As I bleed through the speakers, feel my presence. To my brother, to my kids, I'm in heaven. To my mother, to my sis, I'm in heaven. To my father, to my wife, I'm serious, this is heaven. To my friends, make sure you count them blessings. To my fans, make sure you make them investments. Until the killer despaired at my demise, I forgive you, just know your soul's in question. I seen the pain in your pupil when that trigger had squeezed. And though you did me gruesome, I was surely relieved. I completed my mission, wasn't ready to leave, but fulfilled my days, my creator was pleased. I can't stress how I love y'all. I don't need to be in flesh just to hug y'all. The memories recollect just because y'all celebrate me with respect. The unity we protect is above all. And Sam, I be watching over you. Make sure my kids watch all my interviews. Make sure you live out our dreams we produce. Keep that genius in your brain on the move. And to my neighborhood, let the good prevail. Make sure them babies and the leaders out of jail. Live for salvation when troubles get real. Cause you can't help the world until you help yourself. And I can't blame the hood the day that I was killed. You had to see it, that's the only way to feel. And though my physical won't reap the benefits, the energy they carry on admit still, I want you.
Need a spot where we can kick it, spot where we belong, that's just for us. Just ain't gotta get all dressed up and be Hollywood. You know what I mean? Where the f*** go when we die? Ain't no heaven for a thug. That's why we go to Thug Mansion. That's the only place where thugs get in free, and you gotta be a G. At Thug Mansion. A place to spend my quiet night. Time to unwind, so much pressure in this life of mine. I cried times I once contemplated. And with a tribe, but when I held that, all I could see was my mama's eyes. No one knows my struggle, they only see the trouble. Not knowing it's hard to carry on when no one loves you. Picture me inside the misery of poverty. No man alive has ever witnessed struggles I survived. Praying hard for better days, promise to hold on. Me and my dogs ain't have a choice but to roll on. We found a finally spot to kick it, where we could drink liquor and know what bickers over tricks. A spot where we can peace. And even though we G's, we still visualize places that we can roll in peace. And in my mind's eye, I see this place, the players going fast. I got a spot for us all, so we can ball at Thug Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little heads meet, back and cool. Every hour, cause it's all good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done, we'll be alright.
Wanna go,
nothing but peace.
I wanna go,
the street passion.
A place where death doesn't reside, just thugs who collide, not the start beef. No cops rolling by, no policemen, no homicide, no chalk in the streets, no reason for nobody's mama to cry. See, I'm a good guy, I'm trying to stick around for my daughter. But if I should die, I know all of my albums support her. This whole year's been crazy, ask the Holy Spirit to save me. Only difference for me and Ozzy Davis, gray hair maybe. Cause I feel like my eyes saw too much suffering. I'm just 20 some odd years, I done lost my mother and I cry tears of joy. I know she smiles on a boy, I dream of you more. My love goes to Afeni Shakur, cause like Ann Jones, she raised the ghetto king in a war, and just for that alone she shouldn't feel no pain no more. Cause one day we'll all be together sipping heavenly champagne where angels soar with golden rings and Thug Mansion.
Every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little Tennessee, we're back and cool. Every hour, cause it's all good. No stress from the world outside.
Your baby boy's doing good. Tell the homies I'm in heaven and they ain't got hood. Seen a show with Marvin Gaye last night. It had me shook, dripping peppermint snot with Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke. Then some lady named Billie Holiday sang, sitting there kicking it with mouthful till the day came. Little Sasha show grown. Tell the lady in the liquor store that she's forgiven. So come home, maybe in time you understand. Only God can save us when Miles Davis cutting loose with the band. Just think all the people that you knew in the past that passed on, they in heaven found peace at last. Picture a place that they exist together. There has to be a place better than this in heaven. So right before I sleep, dear God, wear the mask and remember this face. Save me a place in Thug Mansion. Remember this face. Save me a place in Thug Mansion. Up in Thug Mansion.
Street passion, every girl is a thug.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom, and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine, quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, born like this, immaculate conception.
mention. I transform like this, perform like this. Wish Yoshi was a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert. And excellent mean an extra work. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff, gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophet says I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how I wear this when you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor. Features out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals. Yoga on the Monday, stretching to the planet. Watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes. Phone never own, I don't camera stage. I don't compromise, I just penetrate. Sex, money, murder, these are the breaks. These are the times, level number 9. Look up in the sky, tennis on the way. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the ladder skate. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them
to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so, a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Cause I'm from Sam. Got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation.
our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they're doing when they up in the stars, because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would've been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he's supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs, or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make them start panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed you because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with your host, People's Political Party National Chairman, Nat Turner, co-host myself, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our Minister of Communication. You heard me on the ones and twos, Sister Ivana. You did. Call in each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, Black August, week 2. We want to give a special shout out to Uhuru Media for that wonderful rendition of songs and everything else what he put together for us, man. Appreciate you, Brother Captain Sadiq. We're going to open up our lines to our People's Political Party National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner, Black Power. Can you hear me, Chairman?
Yes, sir, Black Power, right on, round. Yeah, man.
Black Power, Chairman.
Yeah, salute to Brother Cathip, you know, and to the people, too, you know, for listening. Those who can listen, those who want to listen and learn, it's not your average day education or educational program on the average, you know, we can come and learn, you know, the orthodox view of our experience as a still displaced nation of people in this country, regardless of how long we've been here. And that is on the books. That is a fact. To be a nation is to, you know, have a sovereign place, a sovereign state, a land, a jurisdiction, you know. And we're here in this country struggling. Our ancestors were the mainstay in building the capitalist infrastructure of this country into what it is today, contrary to all the intellectuals, the professors, the most esteemed economists that the state, you know, always pulls out when it's challenged by someone who really knows the who really understands the shit, who really knows they shit, who's got their game scoped out, you know. Like in the Blade movie, one of the Blade movies, when the old man tells the young buck when they're entering the building, you know, they've got your system scoped out. Come to find out later on, of course, you know, he had set it up before to be that way, deception. But, we consider a politicized education one that untangles what has been tangled by the state and its lackeys, its Negro lackeys. These terminologies that we use are on purpose, for a purpose. They're no less different than when the state uses on purpose its own terminologies to label its adversaries, and particularly the term, you know, terrorists, you know, terrorism. And tonight we're going to zoom in specifically on Jonathan Jackson. Last week, you know, we started, you know, just giving a sort of a synopsis of Black August, its evolution. The main factors, the main objective goal, front and center stage, of course, is the political prisoners' struggle as prisoners of conscience, prisoners of war, who were attacked, imprisoned, thrown into these gulags, penal colonies, which we also refer to as concentration camps. So much so because of their political views, mainly, and you know, set up on trumped up charges. A lot of times it had to do with the murder of a so-called police officer. And last week I had spoke on the Jonathan Jackson Rebellion, where he entered the Marin County court in San Rafael, California. I made a one or two errors I want to correct before we really get into it. I'd said that the three referred to as the Soledad brothers, and the end result, of course, Jonathan had armed a couple of the comrades. I had said it was John Cluche. It was actually the three brothers, James McClain, William Christmas, and Rochelle McGee. They were on trial, brought to the holding dungeons, and James McClain was featured on trial, accused of stabbing a prison guard, at which point, at some point later, or during the this court proceeding, Jonathan Jackson had entered the courtroom, wearing pretty much, you know, what some would refer to as a trench coat. And he had, you know, drawn a weapon and inaugurated the Jonathan Jackson Rebellion. That's what those of us who consider ourselves to be politicized, politically conscious, we've taken our minds back from the usual description, labeling, derivatives, or what have you, expressions and whatnots. Toward those who are adversarial to the state, to them, to their personal ambition, white ruling class, capitalist whims. These things must be said. They must be spoken. Make no apologies or anything of that nature because of the terms that I use or we use collectively as an organization, as a group. We are a revolutionary organization. Our aim and goal, along with the rest of those who have graduated, so to speak, to the revolutionary ideal, there's nothing wrong with the word revolution. You can ask the corporations and the companies, the manufacturers who give us products on a daily basis, the new revolutionary vacuum that some of us seem to get an orgasm over, you know, the new revolution, even revolutionary automobile that can park itself. You know, the revolutionary this, the revolutionary that. So if there's no problem using the term revolutionary when it comes to the capitalists producing things to us consumers, and we also see no problem using the word revolution when we're talking about changing the good conditions under which we are forced to live. And so with the Jonathan Jackson rebellion, August 7th, of course, is a couple of days ago, and this would be 52 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And like I said, he entered that courtroom, and his objective and goal was in using that particular court case, James McClain, in an effort to free the Soledad brothers, well, the three brothers would become known as the Soledad brothers in the Soledad prison. And these three were who I had mentioned last week, George Jackson, Jonathan Jackson's older brother, Fleeta Drumgo, and John Cluche. Some may pronounce the last name Cluche. But that was his ulterior motive. And they had taken hostages. They had taken five hostages. One was the judge. Another was the district attorney. And three jurors, three female jurors. And Jonathan had armed McClain, and it armed William Christmas and Rochelle McGee, and you know, attempted to make their getaway with hostages in a yellow van, and that was outside in the parking lot. And in the ensuing attempt to flee with the hostages, you know, the state's stormtroopers opened up on them. And everyone was killed inside. Well, let me put it like this here. The survivors were the three jurors, the district attorney, and Rochelle McGee of the four. He was a lone survivor who had survived the attack on the van. There's this ideology, this state of mind, and we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's typical, it's usual, you know, on the part of, you know, the European, you know. But you know, there's this ideology, this protocol referred to as taking no quarter. And taking no quarter is like similar to we don't negotiate with terrorists, you know, so to speak. And so they vamped on the van, you know, in their sheer recklessness, you know. And, of course, like I said, you know, this country was founded on violence. Its material structure was established and predicated on violence. And that is a fact, you know. And so, you know, violence was used to, you know, get the Africans to perform their slave duties, you know, build up the capitalist infrastructure. And so obviously they expanded into a much more Black complicated caller, system. Yeah, go ahead, brother. What we got?
Got a caller.
Okay, yeah, look, let's get a man. Yeah, let's get a call. Call, you know, get a man. Question time.
Black power, black power.
Go ahead,
Your vote.
Brother Leon.
Go ahead.
New Orleans chairperson for the People's Political Party. And I was just, you know, astounded. I was growing up and, you know, and I ain't never knew about your brother. You know, when one day I was somewhere, I think I may have been in Germany, and I seen a little, they were doing a documentary on Black Power movement in the States. And there goes George Jackson. And I said, wow. I'm thinking, at the time, I'm thinking, Jesse Jackson. And I kept looking, and damn, my brother, I never knew about that brother. And you can find, like, when I was over there, you can find everything on everybody in the state, but you can't find it here. And that's the arm of the state. Vito Olis, George Jackson, that's rolling in the so-called they socialization of their schools and the class system, you know, the class system. You know, they'll often say, oh, you're a rebel without a cause. You know, you don't serve like that. And I say, some George Jackson is waiting in the wait. So, you know, I'm learning a lot today. Knew some stuff, but them three names, man, that's the Solidarity Brothers and those things that took place in that prison. And from that, based on what I understand, from those events that occurred there, it made the state up their ante in all the courtrooms and all the shit, you know, even how they do some things in the so-called concentrating camps. And some of those techniques, you study George Jackson, you'll find that they're doing the same shit they did to him to the prisoners today, the bold brothers that's in bondage today and now. Same shit. You know, so, you know, it's important that we those who are listening, soak it all in, learn from it, and then you can better move on how you're going to position yourself and advocate for some of our political prisoners that's out there. It's right there. We still got some that's right full in fact in the United States of America. They're trying to bring a sister home that played basketball. They're too high in the back that we have political prisoners in this country here, which are contradictions. Right on, Brother Nat. We listen to you, brother. Soaking in all the knowledge. Right on. Black power, Yoruba, Sasai.
Right on, right? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, bro. And, it's something, like you say, you know, the time, you know, you was out making something of yourself, you know, trying to, I would like to say, you know, make your family and your elders, you know, proud of you and all this kind of stuff, you know. Nothing wrong with that at all, period. But it's the lack thereof, you know, and the control factor, you know, and we're going to get into that, you know. As I said, being with Solidarity Brothers and how they had become the Solidarity Brothers was in reference to a so-called a riot or a fight on the yard. It was a racially charged thing, you know. And so, these brothers obviously they had some consciousness about being in that system. I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, the late 60s here, early 70s or whatever, in the height of the moment, you know. But, you know, they have the guards on the tower, you know. And when this riot broke out in the yard, you know, it seemed like the guard, white guard, just, you know, like, was it coincidence that he shot three black prisoners? He didn't shoot no whites? They were in it with them too. And so, you know, it was some retaliation against that. That had heightened the black inmates' conscious level. You know, just like you had said, it heightened their conscious level, you know. And these circumstances, you know, that take place. You know, so these brothers, you know, were able to gel together even more, you know. And in retaliation, a prison guard was thrown off the tip. You know, prison guard, you know, Pig John Mills was thrown off the tip. And this was January 16, 1970. And so, you know, the prison warden or whoever, you know, in charge and these individuals who's supposed to be able to investigate and have all this understanding, whatnot, you know, they naturally, singling out George Jackson. You know, no evidence he's done anything, you know. And as a matter of fact, this prison guard had a note attached to him. You know, I think it was something like to the effect of one down, two to go, you know, to even a score, you know what I'm saying, 3-3, you know. And so, you know, they go to George Jackson. And then and along with George Jackson, next thing you know, you have, you know, his two other comrades, you know, Philita Drumgoole and John Cluche, you know. And they were accused of murdering this prison guard. And that's how they became known as the Soledad Brothers, you know? And of course, you know, with Jonathan taking, you know, his action, you know, when you look at that, you know, you know, the detectives, you know, or say that, you know, he was a terribly misguided young soul. You know, you know, this utopian revolution, you know, overthrowing a white man, you know, it's this type of thing. George Jackson spoke of him as the highest type of revolutionary, you know, and seeing that from the context of war on African people, you know, that was a move to liberate his comrades, you know, his older brother. And what was said, you know, if that was your brother, you know, in the circumstances that he found himself, what would you have done? You sentence a human being from one to life, you know, of a gas station robber. And I had said 59, it was in 61. You know, just for the record, you know. And there was also, you know, an extended, like, blowback, or, you know, as a result of the, you know, the Jonathan Jackson Rebellion, you had the case with Angela Davis, you know, who it had been discovered was the owner of the weapons. And this is a historic thing. This is a historic thing. Whenever somebody who was part and parcel of the state or the state machinery was harmed, fatally wounded, or lost their lives, you know, these things can be very humiliating on the part of the state. And let's say the killer committed suicide or something, you know, which, by the way, the detractors have also tried to will the impression to the impressionable. You know, it was no more than just a suicide thing, you know. And you know, this thing where the state suffers a loss psychologically, and they can get nothing from the perpetrator because he committed suicide. There's a tendency to say, okay, well, let's investigate further. We have to get something out of this, because we obviously can't get him, and we damn sure know we're going to get him the death penalty, so we can get off on that. You know, so we can masturbate on that, you know, watching it, you know. And, you know, the language, you know, may be brutal, you know, and there's to be a apologies in the sense, you know, then I apologize, you know, to a certain degree, but these brutal terms and these brutal realities, you know, that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, and so there's a pattern, you know, where, okay, well, we couldn't get this, okay, well, shit, but in this sense, you know, how do you get the gun? Who gave him the gun? Well, let's go after them and find out, okay, oh, this gun was, I remember, you know, a number of instances, you know. They go after the one who, you know, bought the weapons. You know, he could have been bought the weapon for a Christmas gift, a birthday gift, or, you know, to go hunting, or, you know, your first gun, you know, and, you know, take it to the shooting range, you know, so you can learn how to handle a weapon in case somebody harm you or break in your house or whatever, stuff like that, you know. But they went after Angela Davis. And, of course, it was strictly political. And at the time, Angela Davis, you know, had been a UCLA professor, you know, one of the most prestigious, you know, universities, you know, in the United States, you know, California, you know. And, you know, and due to her becoming entangled with the Black Panther Party, you know, and her political views being politicized, understanding the conditions, the material conditions that led to the transforming or the escalating of her understanding of things, you know, becoming radicalized or what have you. You know, and so she, you know, went in the hiding, you know. And, you know, this so-called manhunt, you know, on the most wanted list and all this kind of stuff. You know, some of you may have seen the famous photo, you know, her with the afro and, you know, wanted, you know. Some people, you know, take that turn into a t-shirt, a poster, or what have you. You know, but her political views and a stint, or if so, with the L.A. chapter of the Black Panther Party. You know, and so, of course, you know, she was acquitted. She beat those charges, you know. But just an extension of this rebellion. After all, you know, the judge had a shotgun taped to his neck, and so, you know, they managed to, you know, pull the trigger, you know, on the judge, you know, and he died. And so it an extension of it, you know. And as a matter of fact, and we'll talk about this more with George Jackson, you know, the next show or so, in dealing with the August 21st thing. You know, around that week or that weekend or whatever, you know. But Jonathan Jackson, as a matter of fact, had become, or it was said that Jonathan Jackson had been Angela Davis's bodyguard, you know, due to her participating in the Black Liberation Movement. There were a number of, you can say, Black intellectuals or what have you, who had made the decision to join the militant forces beyond the, you know, capitalist-backed civil rights movement, you know, white ruling class-backed civil rights movement, which is what it was, no more, no less. You know? These are just simple facts. And I know some people may get bent out of shape or what have you. Like I said, everybody have their favorites, you know. We were taught in the schools the imbalance of the whole shit, you know. But Jonathan Jackson had become Angela Davis's bodyguard. You know, Angela Davis participating in protests and pickets and all that. There's actually footage of Jonathan Jackson, you know, shadowing Angela Davis when they were on a picket line at a protest. You see the young brother, you know, young man child, as George Jackson referred to him as, you know. And like I say, you know, he's talking, you know, about his brother and what his little brother meant to him, you know. The conditions that drive people to not normally do things of that nature, being told that we live in some goddamn democracy, you know. And in those times, the most hypocritical, you know, the greatest hypocrisy on earth, you know, the nerve to want to go and fight a war in Vietnam, you know, wield the impression of some communist menace, you know, that's a threat to democracy and all this kind of shit. And here you are treating your own citizens in the worst way because they Black, you know, because God put them in the oven first and took them out when they was when they was ripe, you know. You know what I'm saying? As Brother Leon had said, he was talking about the, you know, the security shit today, and his actions, you know, Jonathan Jackson's actions is part of, you know, the reason why you see these security measures today, you know, in the court House or the these buildings, you know, so-called judicial facilities, where they claim to exercise the law, law and punishment, right to a fair trial, you know, innocent until proven guilty, all that paperwork bullshit. You know, we've learned to say guilty until proven innocent. It has been so bad. It's been so tragic, you know? And, yeah, today, what do you see? And if you go look at the Johnson Jackson Rebellion, you'll find the modern labeling of it. You know, it's seen as domestic terrorism. You know, and of course, when you look at the so-called war against terror, you know, this 9/11 shit or whatever, and this escalation of security measures and whatnot, what have you, you know, the metal detector at federal buildings and shit, metal detectors all over the place, even the school, you know, and so. His actions now seen as a case of domestic terrorism. Yeah. And we want to focus on Johnson Jackson specifically. You know, we in the People's Political Party, you know, some of us, you know, we's acknowledging August 7th. And we going back and forth our personal sentiments and views or what have you. Youngest Conrad Lee, kid expressing himself, about Johnson Jackson. Of course, the modern movement, the present movement, the Black Power movement today. You know, some sentiments, towards that. But want to put it sort of like put it in perspective, what is the things that have been altered, so to speak, from back then to today. And these are one of the things we point out, this security thing now. At the courthouses, and it's always been a reactionary like type thing, with Europeans when it comes to Black men, in particular, that's another one that we can chalk it up as, there are many Johnson Jacksons in society today. State is very aware of that. Those who maintain or keep the status quo, white male rule in particular, dressed up in a array of bullshit, in a collage of hypocrisy. And filled with contradictions, there are many Johnson Jacksons out there who view it as a threat, and so there's things that have to be done, to curtail that kind of shit. I mean, it's only obvious that would have to be done. And the things that would come to mind, these deterrents, to serve as, what could be considered as control factors, it's an array of things, and they're constantly creating them on a daily basis, through the big screen, the commercials, our dramas, sitcoms and what have you, Of course, the main things that will come to mind when you talk about young black males or male youth or teenagers, you know, those who are 17 now today, and of course, you know, you know, entertainment, and particularly, you know, today's genre or generation of rap musicians, you know, rappers, and how the corporations, the companies, you know, will dump hundreds of millions of dollars into those efforts. Chuck D used to use the phrase spineless music, you know, to create spineless masses. And what he meant by that, you know, spineless music for the masses, and that would, you know, socially engineer them into what we consider to be self-destructive, or a corralling of people in a prescribed controlled environment. And in that prescribed controlled environment, the shit doesn't, it stays there, because there's no knowledge, you know, there's no consciousness about expanding, you know. The only expanding that motherfuckers want to have done is expanding the empire, you know. But those days have just about run out, and so the Europeans are learning that shit now. They're starting to discover some things that they couldn't imagine before. You know, like we chances are all of us have seen these episodes in the news. You know, when something takes place over here, and it's always the white women. It's always the white women in the fucking news. You know, oh, this types of things just doesn't happen here. You know that type of shit there. But they're finding out now. You know, they're finding out now. You know, the seeds that were sown back then have come almost full blown, and so they're finding out now. You see, and you can take that and say, yeah, see, there are many Jonathan Jacksons out there. You know, and they don't have to necessarily be somebody running up in some fucking courtroom today. You know, the odds of it now, you know, due to their up in, like say, the ancient, you know, protecting their assets, that you know, the stakeholders, you know, of the power and the means, being the controllers of the means of production, determining one's life, you know, how one is going to live, you know, through wages, what have you, what particular type of community is going to be, he or she can afford to live in due to a handful of people controlling, you know, the labor market, you know, and turning people into zombies, you know, creating this mass of underclass people, you know, underclass, you know, who, since they're the only ones around each other, energy is going to be spent in a negative fashion. And so this negative energy gets spent in a negative fashion, then it leads to vice. You know, vice leads to, you know, crime. Crime leads to its various, you know, descriptions of it. You know, rape, murder, theft, burglary, you know, and so forth. You know, and so forth, you know, trespassing. All kind of shit, you know, the dope game, you know, the hustle game, what have you, you know. And so use certain mechanisms, strategies, and tactics to prevent, you know, an ocean of future Jonathan Jacksons, as opposed to, you know, our youth. Becoming something, making something themselves, you know, furthering their education beyond middle school, high school, and on into college, you know. It's as utopian as it could be, And some would say, well, Nat, what do you mean? Why would you say it's utopian? It's like you would discourage our youth from going to college. No such thing. You know, no such thing. But let's take a look at the record. You know, let's take a look at it, and we'll see. You know, people want to talk shit, but you don't want to peel the layers back. They want to put the fucking onion on the table, but don't want to peel the layers back. But they don't. When they cooking with onions, they don't just cut the onion. They peel the onion. They peel it. You know what I'm saying? They peel it. They cut the, the part where the stem was. And they peel it. And some even wash the onion off. You know, and that's what we doing. You know, that's what we doing here. You know, this isn't some fancy thing to impress upon people. It is what it is. So if you take, entertainment, movies in particular. If you look at some of the movies, years ago, the one that always seems to come to my mind is Boys in the Hood. You know, that's what always seemed to come to my mind. You know, and of course, sports. You know, another control factor. You know, towards our youth. You know, control factor. Who's the latest or current Negro Pied Pipers or genetically Black Pied Pipers? And I'm being very careful with this word Black. You know, like Chuck D said, rapping and welcome to the Terror Dome. You know, everybody who say they Black ain't Black. So we look at that shit and say, okay, well, how do we say that and carefully guard this word Black? You know, so we say, okay, a genetically Black brother. You know, and we have to say that. We have to say that shit. You won't be able to put me, Henry Louis Gates, Cornel West, Louis Farrakhan, LeBron James, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, and RuPaul in the same room together, and expect us to be like right on together. There's gonna be some contradiction. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And then each one of us will have to be examined to see. You know, it will be damn near impossible to do it, because it will end up being some of these ideological things, you know, that start, you know, taking into account. We used to get all kind of shit up inside of that, you know. But those are the control factors that will be used, knowing that, yeah, there's plenty of Jonathan Jacksons out there, and we are better get ahead of the game. So we can cut this shit off at the pass. And of course, the other factor, as I say, we take education. You know, you take education and put education out there. And all those have been in high school, and I'm quite sure, you know, we've had somebody come to our school and speak to us about the dangers of drugs and the importance of education. You know, this is another unique way to prevent that type of mentality from rising up again, rearing its head again due to the conditions and the situation that we have today. You know, and like I said, don't necessarily have to be, you know, some, outbreak, you know, outbreak for prisoner or what have you, you know. It could be an array of things. It could be a number of things, but of course we know that the most threatening thing is toppling the system. You know what I'm saying? And like when you speak education, here you have private finance, corporations, like what you see today, you know, around the country, this confiscation, this takeover of the schools and placing it in the hands of this these new labels or terminology, these new fancy sounding names and you know, the schools, college prep, you know, so-and-so high school, college prep, you know, on a fucking sign or over, hanging over the school or their billboard or their school sign out in front of whatever, on their website, you know, college prep, this, that, whatever, you know, to prepare them for college, And, of course, you have the corporations and the companies, you know, their hands, private finance, you know, taking over schools, letting the schools on purpose get run down. You know, deprive the schools of resources to keep the schools afloat, refurbished, and let the schools become run down. And then say, oh, look what the city, look what the school district is doing in that city. Oh, look what the school district is doing. You know, well, you know, you give black people something, you know, they won't fuck it up. They don't know how to run nothing. So we got to come in and rescue them and be the, you know, the superheroes and, you know, and so forth. You know, so forth. And so the educational structure is designed to do what? You know, Leon, you know, Conrad Leon referred to it as a public food system, you know, in the city of New Orleans. You know, and so all these factors go into the consideration when you think about the next Jonathan Jackson. And these people are very aware of this. They're very conscious of it. And so with the confiscated schools and transform the schools and then dump the money in, and then, you know, even the architecture, you know, the new 21st century space age architecture, you know, the building, the design this way and built this way, this, that, all, they put all this new shit in there from the science lab, hurricane proof and whatnot, and have all this kind of stuff, you know, the new computer classroom, science, all, you know, STEM shit, you know, this STEM thing, you know, I mean, man. Just the whole shot. But nowhere in there is there saying anything about an African-centered understanding of the world, an African-centered worldview of our historical reality and legacy, past and present. From day fucking one, when we were created on this earth, you know, Lord knows how long ago, and even trying to control how old, you know, humanity is and all this kind of shit. You know, to today, from the womb to the tomb, you know what I'm saying? There's no value placed on that. Our youth are going to school, and it's like they've become a transparent beings and shit. There's no identity. And believe me, it's for the very same reason what we're talking about. You know, Jonathan Jackson at the age of 17. Who had the type of understanding so young, and the revolutionary determinism, as George Jackson, you know, pointed out, him being, you know, highest type of revolutionary in the struggle for liberation, you know, and of course, you know, yeah, it's gonna be some sacrifices got to be made, or it's gonna be some casualties, you know. Some of us, you know, understand that, you know, some of us are learning and understanding. You know, and it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But the educational system itself, designed to prevent a slew of George Jacksons, Jonathan Jacksons from emerging and taking their own lives back into their own hands after having been arrested and confiscated by the state, not only in the prison system, you know, but in a array of things, on various fronts, economically, politically, socially, or even religiously. If there has to be this may alarm some people, you know, this may startle some people, you know, but if there ought to be killers. If there ought to be killers, you know, it's cool, you know, to join the military, you know, and become a killer. I mean, after all, anybody's in the military, you know, you're listening, press one, you know what I'm saying, press one, and, you know, chime in, you know. But after all, what is but going to the military, joining the army to do what? To become what? A fucking killer, in plain language, you know. You know, the going line, the war for democracy, freeing a nation of people from a dictator, a brutal dictator, oppression, bad economy, you know, crimes against humanity, you know, the war on terrorism, protecting our freedoms, the free world as opposed to the third world, you know, the civilized world as opposed to the primitive world of violence and whatnot, you know, and that and shit is cool. It's a noble cause. It's a noble deed. You know, you when you speak about the youth and say, well, shit, man, we train our youth. You know, the white boys doing it in the woods and in these rural areas and in the forest or what have you. You know, and you know, shit. You say, well, shit, we start talking about people on me. You have people in our own community even looking at it like we crazy. You know, ask me, am I advocating violence? You know what I'm saying? Black Power Congress. Who we got? We got a caller?
Yeah.
Let me call. You know, tell us where you're coming from, your name and comment. You know what I'm saying? And have at it. Black Power.
Black Power. Chairman Nat Turner, National Minister of Communications.
Right
on. Mr. Amin Okun, calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Black Power. Just had a war report from behind enemy lines from Brother Ozone, Otha Wallace.
Okay. Okay.
Know, like I said, Black August and Earth Day of our comrade, Dr. Matula Shakur, Brother Otha Wallace, Brother Ozone, had court on yesterday, August 8th, 30, in Volusia County. Our comrade has been in Volusia County for almost a year. You know, being that the past year has flew by so quickly, it won't be long before he go to trial. His trial starts April 2023rd. Ozone did send revolutionary greetings to everybody, to, you know, all the comrades, all the supporters who have been supporting him, you know, for the past year or so. They're trying to sentence him to death, which the brother would leave behind 5 children, family, and friends and supporters. Ozone is being charged with trumped-up charges in the murder of a pig due to his political background. We know it's due to his political background and love for his people. He did go to court on yesterday. He do have a new court date scheduled for October 17th, 2022 at 1:30. His trial is officially set for April 3rd, 2023. The time will pass by quickly, so just want to encourage everybody, all of his supporters, all of the comrades, the Black Nation, to continue to support Brother Ozone and all our political prisoners and prisoners of war that's behind enemy lines. You can support Brother Ozone at othal.org. That's othal.org. The official balance that's owed to his lawyers is $76,000. We've raised almost half of the money. There's an official bill from his lawyers that I have posted on People's Political Party national page on Instagram, Facebook, the website. PLAP that the brothers using, the website reflects the full balance that needs to be raised if taken to trial. As of now, the balance is $76,000 that's needed. We've raised $74,000 that's been paid to the lawyers so far. So, like I say, just want to encourage everybody to continue to support him, to support all the political prisoners. You know, no comrades left behind. Otha, othal.org. That's otha.org. Black power, all power to the people.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, and man, we gonna make sure, you know, we close out the whole month of Black August and give you know, the current status, the current update, the latest, how should I say, the latest successful attempts to round up present day political prisoners, or the you know, the objective goal to start or to maintain, however you want to look at, you know, today as we speak right now, you know, a continuation of elevated, escalated counterintelligence program objective and goals to prevent the rise of a Black Messiah who can electrify the people. And particularly, according to Hoover himself, the youth, the young people. And as I was saying, trained killers, nobody, seems to have a problem, when I was you joined the military, of course, like I said, based on the going line of why and the seen as a noble cause. We say that we should build our people's army for a noble cause, like other nations have had to do. They've come under forced conditions all around the world, oppressed nations of people. And the one thing that has been the main ingredient in their liberation struggle and success has been is youth, has been their youth, their young people. After all, you would look at the game of football. You see some old men on the sideline with these headsets on. They got all the brains in the world. They got all the genes, all the know-how in the fucking world. Take a clipboard and draw some X's and O's on it and draw a line this way and that way and tell a motherfucker where he should be at on the field. But his ass ain't out there running. Now, some of them did play the game, but there's a whole host of them that never played football, and they had coaches and shit. So if it's all right, if our youth to join their military, which we disagree, then it's all right for us to build our own people army, to protect our goals and ambitions and our state and our stock, the stock in each other, collectively as a people. Now, if that don't work, then the other alternative to being killers, if they're self-inflicted, but they can't see anything beyond that because it's negligible. And so when you see they're going to be killers, then they have to kill themselves. And of course, we refer to it as a self-inflicted genocide. And there's a whole host of things that rise up out of that. Self-inflicted genocide. Everybody chimes in. Everybody wants to get in on. Everybody has something to say. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has something to say. We want to get you back on. If you want to add something else, if you can, go ahead.
Black power. Not only do we want to support Brother Ozone, we do have other political prisoners as well, just as Chairman Nat Turner said. We have political prisoners that, in our time, as well as we have the elders. We have Brother Rakeem Balagoon, a.k.a. Christopher Daniels. He's up in Huntsville, Texas. We also have Brother Hannibal Rushdie. That's our National Minister of Health, Sister Khadija's son. He's held behind enemy lines, concentration camp up in Sing Sing Correctional in Osing, mm-hmm. New York. Also, we have Brother Shango. Brother Shango, he's in Ridgeland, South Carolina. So, like I said, no comrades left behind. We focused on mm-hmm. Ozone, but, we're going to free all the political prisoners by any means necessary. Black power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right on. And that's good. Like I said, we just warming up, even though we hot. Straight up. You know what I'm saying? But
straight up, man. And Black Power. Let me say this, Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, Conrad. Go ahead. Shit, go ahead.
I see this with all black love, all black power, and all of that. So it's phenomenal. Like you is really and graciously, humbly, and whatever else I can add to that.
Helplessly.
You heard me? Come on, man. You would mm-hmm. greatly appreciate mm-hmm. it, sister. I mean, the works what you put in behind the scene to make everything that we do be possible, sister. Man, mm-hmm. look, words can't even put that shit in words. Like this, who you mm-hmm. are. The name speaks for mm-hmm. itself, whether it be Amina or Harriet Tubman. You heard me? I love you to death. And I'll yeah. die for you. You dig?
Two black men. We all we got. We
black
all we fucking need.
Straight up.
Black
straight
power.
Up.
There you go.
Straight the fuck
there
up.
There you go. That's right. And look, man, see this. And this And this is what this, you know, this radio show about. You know, we can express ourselves sincerely and make sense, you know, of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Draw a conclusion that conclude, explanation that explain. And I get that from Chairman Fred, you know, chairman of this chapter of the Black Panther Party who was murdered, you know, by the state back pigs. You know what I'm saying? And he taught us a lot of things. You know, he taught us how to think, you know, critically. How to draw a conclusion that conclude when something go down, when something take place, how to look at it beyond the scope of the European lens, because we can see some things that the European lens most definitely will not allow us to see, you know, and so to contain his legacy, you know, his son and present-day comrade, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., you know, Black Panther Cub / Prisoners of Conscience Committee, and all the work that he's put in, revolutionary work, getting our people, you know, to the point, as Huey P. Newton had said, elevating our conscious level so we deal with our problems and conditions in an elevated manner. And eventually, this cataclysm, you know, the clash with the state due to its ineptitude to be human, due to its on purpose neglect or failing to attempt to even be half human, you know, with others who had been on this earth long before them, you know, sharing the planet, being children of the earth, you know, the whole process, the respect for it, you know, land, sea, and air, you know, but the chickens have come home to roost. And, you know, the God that we know is raising his army, his soldiers. For those who may try to understand this from a biblical perspective, you know, meet people where they're at. You know, some understanding, because in general, yeah, you know, we're Christian-oriented people. But at some point in time, we have to take that and revolutionize that and seek in what's there. From a revolutionary perspective, or it'll just be continuous smoke and mirrors. We just be continually kidding ourselves, you know. And it's nothing like liberation, you know what I'm saying? Because slavery will kill us all, you know. But that's the other half. And like I was saying about, you know, there'll be killers and it's acceptable, you know, we turn inward on each other. We're the nearest thing to each other because we've been cordoned off and deprived of the things that naturally belong to us. You know, and of course, the prison industrial complex benefits, there's benefactors. You know, it's the same as we understand when we lose a loved one. You know, you have had a parent or a mother or father or even an uncle, you know, who didn't have a son and daughter. And we was the closest thing to him. And the uncle left behind, you know, me, you know, his house, you know, or car share money, or his all ownership in the business, his part ownership in the business. You know, these things that we inherit, you know, that we become the benefactor. Well, the prison industrial becomes the benefactor of mechanized way of self-infliction resulting in the genocide, you know. And so even that right there, what you see now is the unpoliticized political prison, the non-politicized, the prisoner of war, you know, politicized and unpoliticized, prisoner of war, you know. And that's very, very beneficial. Even to the point where you see even, you know, those in these terminologies, again, you know, the Negro bourgeoisie, the black petty bourgeoisie. The Negro bourgeoisie is what Malcolm used to talk about when he talked about the house nigger, you know, as opposed to the field nigger, you know, or the master gets sick, the house nigger say, what's wrong, master, we sick, the house catch on fire, the house nigger knocking everybody over, he'll even knock down, you know, the white boys trying to run and get the water, he'll knock them down and try to get to the water first, you know. Things of that nature. The field nigga, when the master house caught on fire, the field nigga out there working, the field nigga dropped everything that he got in his hand and just get on his knees and pray. What he pray for? He pray that a stronger wind comes and makes it even worse. you know, inflames it even worse, you know. The massacre is sick. Feel nigga get on his knees and pray to the God he know. What do he pray for? He prayed for that the master never recover. You know, that he kicked the bucket. You know, and he's justified. He's justified in feeling that way. The Europeans ain't never allowed nobody to harm them physically and turn the other cheek or find some kind of compassion or find the Jesus in them to forgive. They've never done that. They've never done it. They don't even know that language, but they'll definitely pass it to you and your child. They'll instill it in you, and then you go on automatic pilot, and then you pass it to your child. Well, we see instilling your child the history and legacy of Jonathan Jackson, especially if they boys, youth, 17 years old, 15, 14, and 13. You know, our young boys have the right to know about Jonathan Jackson. They're going if it's cool, if it's all right to inform them of the next class or high school, you coming out of high school and he done committed to Alabama, and Alabama stand a chance of winning the national championship next year, then I saying you have the right to know about Jonathan Jackson too. We won't have one without the other. If we can't have that one, then we say fuck the other one. Real tough. We talk about balance, then that's balance. Straight up. That's balance. But real talk. And this other thing. And man, I'm telling you, you know, just to cover a range of things, just to give an idea. Because again, the history of Jonathan Jackson is important to us. Daniel Boone, Patrick Henry, Alexander Hamilton, you know, Thomas Jefferson, Einstein, and everybody else is important to Europeans. And that's their legacy, that's their history, which of course is in contradiction to black and brown indigenous people, nine whites. You see, the other thing that comes to mind, when they realize that somebody is out in society and understands this and has the potential, to politicize our youth, the counter strategies, counter plans for that is such things like Teen Summit. You know, of course, the corporations, the companies is always there. You know, they blackface it, but they're the ones who finance it through philanthropy. You know, this concept of where the these white supremacist dogs and even there are whites who are opposed to them. You know, and this is going to be said from time to time, you know. We're not afraid to, you know, mention these class contradiction between these whites and, you know, hammer on each other. We move out of the fucking way, we let them deal with each other, and then we good. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. But, yeah, these other strategies and tactics, you know, anything to steer our youth from going in that direction of being a nucleus in a revolutionary transformation of society or the liberation of us collectively as a people. And so these various ways of setting up, labeling something, you know, Teen Summit, using certain, like I said, certain figures within the so-called black world, you know, even so much so, you can get somebody from what may be appear to be the black conscious community, even so, you know, and of course, you know, pour the the mad funds into it, you know, get C-SPAN to broadcast it, things of that nature, whereas where we find ourselves forced to having to go out on the streets. You know, those of us who go on the streets, who work in the streets, who politicize in the streets, you know, as opposed to having to syndicate a nationally televised talk show, you know, with somebody and watch that person through the lens, you know, and be
socially engineered into these constructs, these social constructs of understanding, the orthodox state-backed or controlled, you know, these psychological operations, you know, to get our youth into believing this is cool, this is how you solve your problems, this is how we can transform our community, this is how we can stop crime, you know, education, and then of course the latest thing, as I mentioned earlier, you know this STEM thing, you know, the acronym, you know, in particular, you know, math and science, you know, yeah, science and math, science, the scientific understanding of what, and using mathematics to achieve what, physics and chemistry, you know, to still run the, you know, the capitalist structure of things, you know, using a European model to view the world. So much so that we don't even be realizing. Now, the greatest reggae band of all time, for those of us who understand that and who know, hands down, is Third World. You know, and it took me a while. It took me a while to really realize something here. That the European view of the world has been so entrenched in us, you know, that these brothers, namely, you know, they banned, you know, and it never really occurred to me until I saw these brothers on stage one night, you know, or went and bought their album, and I opened up the album and I pulled out the, you know, they will make their albums and actually put a like a kind of thing, like a synopsis, like, you know, on paper inside the album, what they group was about and what they stood for, and they would put their lyrics to the songs or each song inside the album with it and picture and explain it. And when I was reading, you know, the brothers who they secured, you know, and the brother was explaining, and we, it was S1W for short, you know. And then when I, you know, found out what S1W meant, that's when it really set into me. I was like, damn, all this time. But and then the brother explained it. And the group I'm talking about is Public Enemy, Chuck D, you know, the leader of the group. And he explained what S1W was. And he said it's the security of the first world, because we first world people. He said that third world shit is something that the Europeans have hoisted on to us to control how we think and see where we come from. He said it's the first world. He said, this is the third world, you know, and I, it just really struck me. And then I thought about the reggae band Third World, and I was like, damn, you know, so you can be victimized by something and not even fully understand it. Not even know that what you're saying, you know, the joke's on you, you know. And so that's how you can get our youth to think, you know, you the control factor. And they got people that look just like us, you know. When you see, or you see, yeah, man, look, it's a Sunday, you know, shit, you know, you know somebody that's doing a thing with the grill, and it's gonna be a big old thing. And what we see, yeah, man, they got, you know, my dog doing, you know, having a picnic, man, on the lake, and we're not realizing that shit. You know, because in general, collectively with the leadership, they never would explain that type of terminology to us until we come across who's like, you know, the revolutionary type thinkers, you know, that can influence the youth in such a way that will be another Jonathan Jackson, you know. But the you know, they'd rather Clarence Thomas, you know, Colin Powell, a Douglas Wilder, you know, Henry Louis Gates. You know, if you gonna follow somebody that's black, you then shit, here, this the one you follow. Be like him. Be like the first
Herschel
black.
Walker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. If you gonna follow some going, this is your model, black man. You know, to emulate. You know, and all for what? And the more and more it keeps going, the more and more the state can keep perpetuating itself. You know, over and over and over again. You know, who was it? Was it Ella Baker or escape me right, man, y'all forgive me, but Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, one of the greatest, you know, lines, you know, that'll make you think about something. You know, so they, you know, they put these things together, you know, like the latest shit, you know, the new commercial, you know, with the insurance, you know, the new one, what he talking about, the, you know, young people and insurance and all this kind of stuff. I mean, so subtle, very, very, very subtle. The same forces, the same unseen hands, these companies and the corporations, you know, the banks, of course, you can't leave that out. You know, but this is the whole shebang to it, the whole. Part of it, you know, and like I say, you know, some look good like us, you know, and of course, you know, there's a reason that they would want to help, you know, the state to keep perpetuating itself because of their own selfish cliquish interests, which would turn out to be a class contradiction, even among us as a people, you know, this black version of it, you know. There's several organizations. You have like these modern radio shows, the more nationally syndicated ones, you know, the different ones and whatnot. You know, and I can be very, very, very sophisticated at times. You know, from time to time, you know, you could bring on somebody. Shit, you even bring on somebody who was, let's say, a former Black Panther Party member. You know, just to get some, you know, to score some points, you know, with the militants. You know, we sitting there, you know, like Angry Man on Martin, you know, and boot it up, you know, because we listen to the shit every week, and all they got on there is who, and then start realizing, well, look, let's get ex Black Panther Party member, who's in with Bunch Inc. in California. You know, so we see if we can catch up with Elaine Brown or Kathleen Cleaver. Bring her on, you know, somebody for the sisters. Who can we get, you know, for the brothers? You know, these are the strategies, these are tactics. These are clear tactics, you know. And you be listening to that shit, you know. They be listening to it. You know, this is control factors, you know. And so, you know, their own interest. Their own, and, of course, you know, you know, this glass ceiling politics, you know, how far your leech can extend out, you know, to the yard. You know what I'm saying? Like I like to say it time to time, a loosening of the noose, but not the severance of the noose. Just a loosening and loosening up so I can just breathe comfortably. You know, you may have heard people say, yeah, man, I just want to make enough man's where I can live comfortable, you know. It's okay, but cool. All right, look, we go. We can make that happen. You know, just help us keep things, you know, in order, and we good. You know, just help us maintain law and order, and you know, you'll be all right. You know, we your son planning on going to college? You know, how old? He's 17. Oh, well, she's graduating. Yeah, hell yeah. So we talking about going to school. Like, you know, we can make that happen. We can make that happen. You know what I'm saying? The state would rather for our youth to read Iceberg Slim than read George Jackson, Blood in My Eye. You know, the state would rather for our youth to read Martin Luther King's autobiography than Malcolm X's autobiography. You know? They would rather that take place. And of course, it's only natural that they would do. And that, I mean, that you know, that they would, you know, like that to be that way. You know what I'm saying? So that's what part of the struggle is, and that's why it makes our existence relevant. If there was no Governor Wallace, then there wouldn't have been no need for Malcolm X. You know, I like to put it like in modern day times, at one point, so there was this beef or this thing or this sort of going back and forth. I believe it was Lil Wayne and Bill Cosby or something or whatever, something like that, you know. And I said, okay, you know what, shit, it wouldn't be no Lil Wayne if there was no Bill Cosby, you know. And if there wouldn't be no me if there was no Lil Wayne. You know, and I say that, you know, to the point that, you know, you get to a point, to a stage where you feel like you can make a difference, you know, in a lot of your young brothers out in the real world, in the streets, you know. And it is what it is. You know, people are picking, you know their own poison, their own part or their place within the struggle, you know. Shit, the struggle is it don't compromise with people. It doesn't compromise with people. You know, it's on different fronts that we struggle. You know, but you know, like for instance, the show, the, you know, whatever form of media we can use to, you know, to try to reach our people in any by any means necessary. No, but the realizing that the last thing is the and I may have touched on it, you know, but the very crucial role of you in any revolutionary struggle, any revolutionary struggles, you know, and so the America would be like the last bastion, you know, of this shit, in a sense, you know, of those who understand, you know, like the Book of Revelation, what have you, you know. But you know, there's a thing that may be misconstrued, you know, sometimes about, you know, the masses or whatever, something like that. But to understand, you know, the crucial role of young people in the movement. And if you look in places like Turkey, these are, you know, very seldomly mentioned, maybe named countries or whatever, you know, but like in what would be considered like Northwestern Asia, what have you, you know, right next door to Eastern Europe. But these countries, you know, there's this movement, you know, that extend close to like what would be considered like, let's say, next to China, like Central Asia, toward East Asia, you know, these countries in between there. But in Germany and France, as we refer to it, the Grey Wolves. And I was talking to, you know, Conrad Motherland, you know, earlier. And you see the importance of it. And so much so where in France, they banned this, you know, the Grey Wolves, this movement, and it's young people. And you can go online and see photos, and you know, massive, huge masses of young people, and look like they're angry as hell, you know. And this is a menace to society, type of society that the proprietors of the state, that ruling class in these white countries, not even white people having problems with their fucking youth. But then when you peel the legs back and start seeing what the Grey Wolves is and how the Grey Wolves came about, you get to seeing some other shit. This right-wing thing, you know, this military wing of the some type of people's nationalist movement or some shit like that. You know, but the point I'm just trying to make, how powerful the Grey Wolves are in the scheme of things, you know, for those who thinking that, you know, we tripping on some revolutionary shit and trying to steal you, you know, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. You need them to vote. They need the young people to vote. And of course, you know, you have to be 18, right? So if they need them to vote, then what do they need them to vote for? But their conditions don't change collectively. You see? And that's what we're talking about. If our conditions can't change collectively, then it's sabotage. It's fucking sabotage. So we say, hopefully, something like the Young Power Nation, you know, as a working idea that we hopefully can turn into a fruition. You know, it always boils down to ideology. It always boils down to that. So on that note, the ideology is black power. You know, all power to the people. You know, your whole rule. You know, for those who may be wondering, you know, that word, you know, Swahili, it simply means, you know, your freedom. You know, by any means necessary, like Malcolm X taught us. You know what I'm saying? And tune in the same time next week, you know, for the third segment of this Black August month, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And, you know, big ups to our Minister of Defense, People's Political Party, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our sister, Minister of Communication, National, Sister Imano showing on the ones and twos. And man, let's just keep, you know, pushing forward. You know, just keep pushing forward one day at a time and keep elevating and move our people in the direction of a revolutionary state of mind and making our contribution to the struggle, no matter how small or how big, because we doing something and we know that we on the right motherfucking path. You know what I'm saying? That's from the heart. We love our people. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I'm out of here. You know, give us something, Conrad. You want to take us out with some music, whatever, hit us with it.
Yet right our on. Best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Self-defense or fitness. Don't rush the show. You got to go. gotta fight the power that be.
Elvis was a hero to most, but he Elvis was a hero to most. Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. If he's straight out racist, the sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucking in, John Wayne.
Cause I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready, I'm hyped cause I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear in no stamp. Simple looks at you looking for nothing but redneck for 400 years if you text.
Don't worry, be happy.
Was a number one jam. Damn if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy, guys.